Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Hey there, it's your big McDonald's hunger calling. And it's not just any kind of hunger. It's the kind that calls for Big Arch. Start with juicy beef, cheddar cheese and Big Arch sauce. Oh, and don't forget those crispy onions. Hungry? You are now. Served from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
No! Let's try something else. Hit it, Joe.
Welcome, you guys, to another episode of Beth.
Jason,
we were off to such a good start.
We were so close.
We weren't.
We almost finished.
We weren't doing very well. This is the third episode.
You should think you'd get it by now.
Guys, I'm so drunk. No, we really should. We'll do a drinking episode at some point. But
Why wasn't it my episode?
We'll bring you back.
13 times on hand.
We'll bring you back. Okay, here we go. I'm going to do it for real this time.
I'll be the designated
driver. That was just to get it lively. That's all. All right. Welcome, you guys, to another episode of Best of Both of Our Worlds. Best of Both Our Worlds. I know.
Ba-bow!
I know.
Ba-bow!
Sing it, dude.
Hashtag ba-bow.
Okay. Welcome to...
We're never getting there.
Oh, my God. You guys need a pro.
No, we're good. We're good. Okay, we're good. We're fine. Welcome to Best of Both Our Worlds, the official, unofficial Hannah Montana podcast, a show where three friends share our memories of Hannah Montana with the fans so they get a chance to see the other side of the best damn Disney show ever.
Ever.
That's right. I am Jason Earls. I'm one of your hosts. I'm here with two of my close friends, Doug Liebline and Shannon Flynn. And today we have a very, very special episode because we are hanging out with one of our all-time favorite guest stars on the show. I believe she made 13 appearances on the show. Yes, incredible number. One of the best. We have Romy Dames in the studio today.
Romy Dames!
I do have a couple of sweet little niblets about Romy before we get started. The first one was submitted by Dougie. Doug says, Romy Dames is half Japanese and half what? We'll answer that towards the end, but have a little think on it. Mm-hmm. And then my sweet niblet for this episode is, how old was Tracy supposed to be on Hannah Montana? I literally don't even know if we have an answer for this, but I'm dying to find out by the end of the episode if there really is an answer for this. So those are my sweet niblets for this. So Doug, would you please give a warm official welcome to our guest, Miss Romy Dames?
I will. I will officially introduce you. Well, I'm going to read your official introduction bio now. To you, making you and me incredibly uncomfortable.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Horomi Dames, not just Romy. Hi, Romy.
I kept going back and forth.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Horomi Dames is a versatile American actress. That's what it says.
I didn't write this.
It's on the paper.
Oh, my God. I've got to tell you guys later what my Wikipedia used to say. It was amazing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Horomi Dames is a versatile American actress and voiceover artist, perhaps best known for her memorable role as the snooty yet hilarious Tracy Van Horn on Hannah Montana. Beyond live action, she has lent her distinct voice to about a bazillion.
That's a big one.
I added bazillion.
It's a big number.
True. Popular animated series, including Phineas and Ferb, Hamster and Gretel, and over 100 episodes of Winx Club playing the role of Musa.
Oh my God, it felt like a billion episodes.
Yeah, I know, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Horomi Dames.
Yay! I'm so happy, finally, not just these two.
Yeah.
For real.
Somebody who understands the struggle.
The struggle of having to deal with us.
I'm here for you, fellow actor.
Thank you. Thank you. Legitimately one of my all-time favorite guest stars on the show. I was always so excited when you were there. A little intimidated because Tracy was like the best.
Tracy was the best.
Yeah, and Jackson, that was not the world that Jackson was swimming in on the show. But
that's not true, actually. Jackson did swim in the Tracy world for a little while there. Remember? It was not great, but it was Hannah's Wild Ride.
But we're really thrilled to have you here. Are we doing some Tracy-ness here in the beginning?
Oh my God, of course we are. Oh, yeah, because how would anybody recognize me if I didn't bring Madonna?
That's the best bit of the entire show, the fact that party was for Madonna the Cat.
Yes. Madonna the Cat. Yes.
Madonna the Cat, played by Potato and Mr. Higgins. Really?
The real cat.
Yeah. Two cats.
That's right, because we had to switch them back and forth just in case.
You didn't know that?
One got a little uppity.
One did get uppity.
I know.
I watched the episode recently, and like when I say, ooh, Rainstone Paper Scooper, Madonna like rolls over my arms, and you can see, if you watch the episode, you can see that moment. Mr. Higgins' eyes are just like, no, I am not dealing with this. It's like, oh. And so I'm doing the voice, and then Madonna bites me, and I was like, ow, ow, guys, I just got bitten. And I heard the audience laughing over on the stage because they didn't realize until that moment.
That it wasn't a bit.
Yeah, totally. And also that my regular voice came into play, and they're like, oh, wait, what? Yeah. And so they brought in Potato, who, true to his name, was very chill and finished out the episode like a pro.
What I always wondered is, if you've got two cats, one that's a little high-strung and one that's like literally Potato, why don't you start with Potato? what are we doing? Let's roll the dice and see what happens here.
No, let's be honest, the other one looked better. And you always go with the one that looks better.
Potato was a little bit of a potato. Lived up to the name.
When you bring in twins. Yeah. When you're dealing with kid actors and you have to bring in twins in order to kind of switch them out.
Do you start with the fussy one in that case? Like the one that you
start with the better looking one?
Always.
So many jokes rushing for the door.
I think Mr. Higgins was actually a gentleman who was just like, I'm not going to be seen with a woman who is doing this voice right now, and I'm on a kid's show. Ah, get me off. I thought I was going to be on like a British low-key comedy.
Or, you know, some fancy face.
Yeah.
Mr. Higgins?
Mr. Higgins.
Mr. Higgins was like, I went to Juilliard for this. It's like, settle down, Mr. Higgins.
Drama school.
I bet Mr. Higgins had better representation than I did at the time.
Probably.
It probably got paid more.
I'm sure. I bet Mr. Higgins is making residuals off those episodes.
Okay, we have a few questions for you.
Oh, yeah, should I take this off now?
No, we
didn't mean to yell at you. Like, being like, you do whatever makes you comfortable as long as it involves you continuing to wear the tiara. Okay.
Exactly. What is the question that most fans ask you?
Okay, so there's two.
About Hannah. Okay. Yeah.
One, what's Miley like in person?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm so curious, too. I heard she's delightful.
I heard she's awesome. To which I answer, you know, I mean, I met her when she was a kid. Yeah. So, and she kind of, to me, seemed the same, just like more the whole way through. It was like, I met her. She was like exactly who she was going to be. Said anything that popped into her head.
She did.
Which I thought was amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the thing that gets me always, is everyone thinks that she changed because everyone believes she's the character we wrote for her.
Right.
Right? They think, oh my God, as soon as the show was over, she bust out the whole smoking pot thing. I'm like, she's exactly the human being. She's completely honest about it. She is who she is, and she's been that way since we met her. That's an incredibly admirable thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she is honest about who she is, and tells you it's okay for you to be honest about who you are, which is fantastic.
You always know where you stand with her. Like I always felt like she used to tell me that I was fat faced all the time, which was like when I was being a little salty,
she meant you had a fat face.
Well, I do have a fat face, but it was nice because it wasn't like she would like sort of dance around stuff. She'd be like, you're kind of being a dick right now. Yeah. And I'd be like, I am kind of being a dick right now. But I never felt like we were sort of faking the exchange. It always felt like very grounded.
Yeah.
Was she like that with you, just being a guest star?
Yeah, totally. And I thought that was amazing because, you know, usually when you meet Hollywood people, it's all very just like, we've all had media training. Even if we haven't had media training, we act as though we have had media training.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And she was not that. She was just like, whatever I'm going to say, it's coming out right now. And it made me laugh so hard. I can't. The tiara has made the decision, much like Mr. Higgins. It just popped out.
The show just got 10 times better.
And I will say,
actually, looks astonishing.
It really zhuzhes you up there.
Thank you.
And then you said there were...
It covers the bald spot.
So Romy said...
You have a bald spot. You have full head
of hair. Romy said that there are two questions that you get asked all the time when you're asked about Hannah Montana. So the first was... What is Miley like? And the second is...
Where did the voice come from? Oh my God, that's not your real voice.
What would you say is like the most like random fan encounter that you've had? Like, is there like... have you ever been approached like in any weird places or any... Like, what's
the... Okay, so for the most part, the fans' encounters have been like so amazing. Yeah. And I love it because... It's not like I love attention all the time, but I love good attention when people
What do you mean you don't love attention?
I love attention all the time, you guys. Pay attention to me. So, like, usually it's, like, people coming up, and I was always, like, really impressed that they would recognize me because I have the face blindness.
I'm the worst.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, terrified because I have called people by the wrong name. I wouldn't recognize me. So when they recognize me, I'm like, wow, you have, like, a... superpowers. I do not. But everyone assumed because of the show, even though it was like a character, everyone assumed I was the character. Right. So they assumed I was rich and I was snobby and I was going to be, you know, that person. And then, so it was cool when they would run up to me and be like, oh my gosh, were you on Hannah Montana? And then I would talk in my real voice and everyone would be like, oh, cool. Pleasantly surprised that I wasn't obnoxious.
Were they disappointed that it wasn't your real voice?
Yeah.
No, because I think they felt like they had something now to tell their friends.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, like, that's so smart.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little Easter egg.
A little niblet.
Yeah,
I heard you guys
a sweet niblet.
A sweet niblet. Yeah.
If you will.
Which kind of leads us right into where the voice come from.
It gets better.
Because I have, there's more. There's more, Doug.
Oh, God.
There's more. Uh-oh. So at the time I was a working actor and I was only being paid by the week whenever I was on Hannah. And like you guys said, 13 episodes, it was like...
Over four years.
Yeah. So I still had to have like a normal job in between. So when I would get recognized in a job, I hated it because it was always while I was doing something horrible, like emptying the garbages at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh,
I have like a giant thing over my like a Santa Claus sack of like trash of like wings, and you're like, oh my God, were you on Hannah Montana? And then we get like sad, like I'm so sorry. I didn't know. And the worst was when so for 2 days I worked for this like thing. I found an ad in the paper and it was like, come work for this hair care place. And I went to it. They like kidnapped me and took me to Bakersville where I went to some like college and they taught me to like get people to buy into this hair care scam.
Oh, it's like a pyramid scheme?
Yes.
Oh. And multi-layered.
Yes. So they'd be like, so get the kid to pop out, student to pop out their wallet, and then you see, check by asking for their ID. So you're like, oh, can I see your ID? Because you have to be 18. Oh, I see you have your ID. Okay, why don't you pop out your credit card right now because it's right there.
Right.
And then someone's like, oh my God, were you in Hannah Montana? And I was like, no.
I'm scamming you out of money right now. I can't involve the
Disney Corporation. This is sort of related. Did you ever do any of those like acting conventions? Did anybody ever bring you out as like a guest, like a con or whatever?
You were killed at a con.
Okay. When you're brought out to a con, it's amazing when someone brings you out to the con. Yeah. When they're like, we're going to pay you. You're going to sit here. You're going to sign autographs. When they're like, can you run your own booth at a con?
Yeah.
Oh my God, so awkward. And I couldn't ask anyone for money because I was like, here's my autograph. Here's the suggest, you know what, whatever. Yeah. We're good.
I had a few of those where it was, there was the conventions which were sort of cool for like the appearances that way. But sometimes it would be like, it would be places that were like trying to sell like acting classes to kids.
Ooh,
and I thought I was just like sort of there as like a bit of a guest speaker and like, you know, to and but they were sort of like using you to like try to like trump up the, and
yes,
those
one of
always
three name places.
Yes. I was and I was I, yeah, that's thank you for the
reducing our legal liability there. it was so awkward because, like, I really wanted to have a connection with the fans and, like, encourage kids to pursue the arts, even though it doesn't pay, and, like, all of that stuff. But then you would get that weird sort of seedy, like, trying to convince kids to spend thousands of dollars on acting classes that they just didn't need. So I didn't know if you had run into any of that stuff, because that is sort of like the dual-edged sword of, like, it's cool to get out there, but sometimes, like... Yeah.
My scams were all in hair care.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that your scams.
Well, it was because I was kidnapped. They literally put me in a car, took me to the second location, and I was stuck.
That's so
scary. And if I wanted to come back from Bakersfield.
That's Tracy from Hannah. We could get her.
They were like, just sell the. You can help us sell this stuff, or you can give us a kidney. It's totally up to you. Whatever you need.
You're going
to
end up in a bathtub full of ice either way.
Yeah.
Okay, so now,
the big question.
Shannon's like, it got dark.
The big question: when we wrote it, we wrote sort of Paris Hilton, right?
Right.
We didn't write the voice.
No.
Where'd the voice come from?
Okay, so at the time I was in a sketch comedy group, and we were called Waiters and Extras, and I was doing.
Oh, fantastic! Love that.
Thank you. I didn't make it up, but I take credit. Because I'm here.
Which is what we're all doing, by the way.
Yeah, please.
Shannon and I didn't even work on the show.
No, anyway. We just saw Jason in a restaurant and said, were you on Hannah Montana?
Yeah, can we pretend to have worked on the show?
And he was so embarrassed hauling garbage. He was like, okay, I'll do your show. So I was actually doing a Jennifer Tilly impression, and I was having so much fun doing it. But it's totally different from my Tracy. So by Jennifer Tilly, I was totally going like this because she's got a scratchier thing, and I thought it was just really fun. And so at the time, I was like, well, I'm going to go into this audition that they're totally not going to book me for because I'm 27, and the role said it was 16.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is. Like,
that never happened.
That never happened.
Who would lie like
Who
that?
Who on earth would ever try to pull the wool over Disney's eyes?
Right?
Absolutely not. No.
So
I was like, I'm going to go in there and do what I want because it's going to be fun.
Right, and you're not going to get it anyway.
Exactly. That was your what?
That was my Fletcher audition. Same thing. I was like, I'm never booking this, so I'm just going to like do something that I think is funny.
So did you do the Tilly in the audition? Or did you do the Tracy in the audition?
I did the Tracy on the audition. I didn't want to steal from the Tilly.
Okay, I see. So it was inspired by...
So I went from this to this, which of course is sort of similar, but not quite.
It's better.
It's kind of like an Eartha Kitt meets the Tillys. If Eartha Kitt and the Tillys had a baby in the future, where
that
is possible.
Incredible.
My God,
that
right?
would be like the best ever.
I find that so fascinating. Like the amount of thought that sort of like went into that versus like sometimes I'm just like. Like, just whatever comes out is what it is.
Believe me, not all of my additions are thought out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get stuck in the weeds here, but I do want to say, like, as a director, what I will say is when I am watching auditions, or if, you know, after COVID, like, there were lots of self-tapes that I had to watch for other shows that I was working on, but even in the audition room, I appreciate so much an actor that comes in with a very, very bold choice.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing in the world, like an actor, it could be totally wrong, or it could be the opposite of what I was thinking and even better than what my little silly brain had kind of put on this character. So like, and Howard, who was our casting director at the time, Howard and Carol, I know that those kinds of choices, they fell in love with.
The thing that made Hannah special was they were cartoon characters that were grounded and real. And the thing you did in that audition, you did a cartoon voice, but you made it real. And you made it a real human being, a three-dimensional human being. And a lot of people don't, right?
Right.
And that is, like, the Disney Channel is littered with them.
Yeah.
Yes. Offense.
But you made, and that's why you got the part, and that's why we brought you back 13 times.
I appreciate it. I feel seen.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's true. Hannah was all about, though, getting to those real moments, and you can't have those cartoon characters. They just ruin it, right?
Yes.
So you were able to give us exactly what we needed, which is big, huge, kid funny in a real way.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I felt like it was really well written. Like every episode that I would get,
your character was created by the best writer on the show, but that's beside
that me. Is yeah. absolutely 100% true. And yeah. I believe he got residuals every time I came on.
We're going to talk about that. Okay. if you want to hear about it, maybe we'll come back to it.
So then the question is, when people too, just related to the voice, when people meet you, do they do a try and do a Tracy voice to you? Like, do they try and emulate Tracy for you in some way?
Yeah,
it is a nasal condition. You know I have a deviated septum.
Oh my God, Shannon, that is so good.
We are so best friends.
We're like twinsies.
When you leave today, I plan on going, ciao.
But do people do that to you? Because I can tell you, when I told people that we were going to have Romy Dames on the show, they were like, oh my God, Tracy is going to be on the show.
I feel like that's something people do behind my back.
Because for real, like, I don't know if people can, but like, people should try and do their best.
Would you be offended if
people should do their best?
I think they should all do it.
Yes.
I would love it.
People need to do their best Romy Dames Tracy voice and put that on our social media, I think. That would be amazing.
Send us
your best Romy Dames Tracy voice and tag us.
Yes.
Tag Romy.
Yeah.
I will get back on social media. Oh my God, this. The hairs.
So, not to harp on the voice too long, but I do have like probably the most important question related to the whole like Tracy voice thing.
Are you gonna put on your glasses like a newsman?
Well, no, but you please take this seriously.
Okay.
Does your husband ever ask you to do the Tracy voice? That's all. I'm just.
You know, only when he wants to get in the mood.
Because it is such a funny thing, like especially when you sort of get a little famous for being on like a children or family like program, and there was something like fun about like the actor, the role play, but like it's just weird when it spills over into like your real adult life, because like you're 27, and it's like
I feel like anytime I do any sort of voice around my husband, it is a mood killer.
Is it?
Any voice, it doesn't matter. Even if I think it's sexy.
Do you think your husband finds you funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. And I feel like funny is mood killer.
Because that's so funny.
It's a great beginning, like on a date. It's like, get someone on a date. They're like, oh my God, I had so much fun. But if you're in the bedroom, it's just like,
Well, maybe because of like the nature of the work that you do, who the work you do is for.
Yeah.
Like maybe. You're trying to appeal to children, maybe that's
no,
why.
No, I think it's more of a physical thing. Like you just can't laugh and do any
things?
Yeah. I guess that's not your question. Why are we talking about this?
That's not where I was going. I was literally just asking if you ever did the voice role. Like, there was no content.
I've been doing this all wrong. Because all there is laughter in the bedroom.
I thought that's what I was going for.
Circle back.
Okay. But then I will say, just the last thing is too, is does your child, because you have a child, you just turned 7.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, has he seen the show?
He saw it for the first time yesterday.
Oh, so.
And he said something along the lines of, that's you. I see you. You look so pretty and skinny. And then, and then he kind of realized afterwards, and he came over and patted me on the leg, and he goes, "You still do, Mom."
And
I was like, "That is so cute," and really also cute. Like, "Wow, to get that at that moment, socially astute." I was like, "All right, you're gonna do well with the ladies, yeah."
Besides yourself, who do you think the funniest cast member was in the show, and why was it Jason? Who wrote these questions?
I would have totally said you. I actually would have. Oh my God. Okay, so I have this memory of going to visit you later on Kickin' It. And I remember thinking about how funny you were. But there's this moment that is just always in my head that is hilarious. And I think it was Kickin' It. I'm not even sure. It's like there was a vending machine, and you like Garfielded onto it.
And the whole thing, like,
It was amazing. Yeah. And I tried to find it on the internet last night because I was like, I got to see this again. It was so funny. It does not exist. I don't know how to find it.
It's got
to
be somewhere.
There's got to be a link.
Disney Plus, guys.
The thing that Kicking It, like, it's a little bit of a departure from this, but the thing that I loved about Kicking It is there was so much physical comedy, like shenanigans in
you
that show.
You were so good at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is amazing.
I can barely walk now, but like, guys, as long as the audience laughed, it was, I genuinely would just like physically sell out whatever it took, whatever the funniest version was.
It lives in my heart and my brain as just like
That was a really good
pure comedy gold.
That is something.
Oh, and also on Hannah, there was this time where you had like a milk bath. I think you had gotten sprayed.
You got skunked, right?
I got skunked. And so you're out there, and there are these like two orange tabbies like licking the milk.
You were in the
big pool.
In the writers' room, we would often just talk about what shit we could get you. Like how we what weird shit can we do?
I picked up on that pretty quick.
It wasn't a skunk,
you had a sunburn.
But the toilet glued to your head and the bee sting. We it wasn't just because we wanted to mess with you. It was because we knew you could make it real.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. Like, how far can we go before he cracks?
Pretty far.
Yeah.
You know, before last night,
his memories.
Had you gone back in the last 20 years and watched it all?
I think I did, like, you know, or I did watch them originally. Like, mm-hmm. when they came out, I would watch them because I wanted to see.
Right, you wanted to see yourself.
And then I would immediately watch it again because the first time I can't. I'm so critical the first time I watch it that it's not sinking in. And then I watch it like later, but since then, no.
And then so when you watched it last night, what came back? Like, what was the flood that came? Do you remember? Did anything hit you? Like, oh my God!
One of the episodes, there was a limo scene, and I don't know which one it was because I was in a few limo scenes, but there were only three seat belts in the back, and I remember it was a four-person scene.
We had
to wear seat belts, remember?
Yeah, everybody had to wear seat belts.
Had to clip their seat belt, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one person had gotten kicked out, and I remember in my head it was some guy, and poor dude lost his role. But watching it back, I was like, oh, I think I was the one who was kicked out of the limo scene.
Was that the Davros or Stavros?
Stavros?
Yes. It was you and Stavros were in the limo, and I was like,
were we doing the belly stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I was supposed to be in that scene, but in my brain, I was like, oh, of course they kept me.
I would have been too embarrassed if you're in there doing my belly thing. I'd be like, I can't do that with Tracy around. I can't do that. I was bad enough dealing with Stavros because that guy was like yoked. I was like, he can't even do the thing because there's no belly fat there.
You know, when they drew on their bellies did the thing.
Oh, that dude was fit. He, I followed him.
She didn't talk about me.
No. That dude was fit. That actually seems ruder.
Okay, but in the rewatch, what was your, do you have a favorite episode or a least favorite episode?
Yeah, my boyfriend's Jackson is totally my favorite episode.
Because
we got to hang out.
Dude, that episode is...
It was so fun.
It's top five.
What did you say? I told
him. I love Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yeah. He jumped on the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were showing off the
watch. I still have that jacket, by the way. I'll bring it in. The Tom Cruise jacket. Fit?
Is there one that you didn't... Is there one where you felt it was like, meh?
I mean, I was kind of disappointed about the sugar episode because the first time... I realized why we had to reshoot it.
The first ending scene was funnier than the second ending scene.
Yeah,
it was. But we had to, you know?
Yeah.
Again, we make mistakes sometimes. We wrote it incorrectly and we had to fix our mistake.
You just wanted to drench me in chocolate.
We did.
I was a chocolate covered Romy in the first one. They dumped the entire chocolate fountain on me and I was like coming out of the swamp, like swamp thing.
Yeah.
And
you know what else I remember is that Dahlia created that bustier that was made out of jelly bellies. Like that they hot glued jelly bellies, like different color ombre jelly bellies all over.
Yeah, Dahlia, who was our wardrobe designer
for seasons two through four.
Yeah. And she's fantastic. They would build stuff for us all the time.
Yeah.
One of our favorite things was having them come up to the writer's room and having one of her assistants in the outfit to model it for us.
Yeah.
And they're miserable. They're just like...
But here's the thing, though, too. Like, and this is especially true because Tracy had to be like fashion forward.
Right.
Yeah. Because, but here's the thing with Hannah Montana episodes, we shot them and then they wouldn't air until like 4 to 6 months after they were shot. So Dahlia had to like be a future caster. She had to know what was going to be, you know, of the moment 6 months before it was
Although
at the
in
moment.
Some ways the show was so popular that we were sort of, we had the benefit of being like the
we created the moment.
Yeah.
You know
yeah, but she couldn't just pull something off the rack.
She couldn't do something old. Like, she had to do something different and new and then hope that we create that moment.
Yes,
right? And she did a lot of the time because she's great.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And she would pull pieces that like, I was like, those two I would never have seen going together. And she was amazing at that. Mm. And I remember watching the episode last night. I was like, oh my God, there are so many layers on all of us. There's like, a little shrug and a little tank top and a little something tied around my waist. And then there's like leggings. And...
Well, that was a little bit of the Disney Technicolor vomit, which is everything has to be so colorful.
Yes.
And every one of our senses has to be going.
I love it. It's kind of like when I walked around the Vegas airport last night, I was like, this reminds me of Hannah because everything's so sparkly and like in your face.
Oh my God.
I feel good there.
Yeah. I'm really curious. Why do you think that Jackson and Tracy never like hooked up? Like, because honestly, he seems like Jackson, or she seems like Jackson's dream girl. She's rich, she's famous, she's gorgeous, she is shorter than he is. Like, that would be like prerequisite number one. Why do you think that didn't happen? And how do you think Tracy would have reacted if Jackson had like actually hit on her at some point?
Jackson, why don't you tell me how it would have gone? Because I thought it was giving back.
I've seen her husband, and her husband is gigantic.
Wait, yeah.
Wait. I'm just saying.
No, he's totally fine.
No, I got you. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, how's it going?
Oh, you're so innocent, like a boy bander.
Do you have any sweet niblets wrapped in bacon I can nibble on?
You don't know how long I've waited to hear those exact words.
Honestly, what's funny is like we really are only in like one scene together in the entire show.
But I thought that's where it was going after that scene.
Yeah, because like, you were sort of like, who's this caveman?
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's really... And then later on, in a future episode, weren't you like into her dad or whatever? Like, I thought there was like one episode where you're sort of like,
yes, I remember that. It wasn't into her dad, but like there was like a moment where I was like, ooh, your dad's hot or something.
Yeah, it's just a little funny.
Yeah.
Here's the thing there, Jason. Jackson
can't
be in, we realized our mistake,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Jackson can't live in the Hannah world or Miley's sister is friends with all Hannah's friends, then you start making connections, right?
This goes back to
that's
the whole secret
can't
identity
have Jackson. But we broke that rule all the time.
Yeah.
But that was the genesis of why the two of them couldn't, if the two of them had gone out, it would be Hannah's best friend is Miley Stewart's brother.
Yeah.
So Hannah and Miley must know each other. Oh my God, they look a little bit alike, wait a minute.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't want to do that math.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
That's why my head exploded. When Robbie Ray was both Miley Stewart's father and Hannah Montana's manager.
Yeah.
When we made that mistake, I wanted to quit show business.
Yeah. Literally, this is an ongoing theme. If anybody actually really understands like what the relationships are and who's who to what, put it in the comments so I can learn what the hell is actually going on.
Yeah,
because
I
have no idea who knows who and why. But is there a storyline that you like would have pitched or that you would have liked to see Tracy do something? Or is
I mean, you know, I would have pitched the one where we had the thing going on together.
A little bit more of a flirty thing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really funny and cute how it happens in more Madonna episodes. I just want to hang out with the cat.
We would have shot them all down, but thanks for pitching.
Yeah.
Sure. This is why actors don't write.
Yeah. No, I think we would have loved to have done that. I mean, like, put the two funniest, you know, people in the room together. But we did have, you know, we had the logic.
There would have been
problem.
Something. It would have lasted all of one episode, yeah. And right. She would have been complete. He would have done something like blown a snot rocket 100%. Or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That so would have been,
that, like, totally grossed her out.
Where do you think Tracy is today?
Oh. I'm sure I've had 3 divorces by now. So I'm even richer. I probably own half a baseball team.
Oh,
even
I like
though
that.
I know nothing about baseball, I still like to go. On camera. I'm sure I've done, you know, a Real Housewives.
Oh, that would be so good.
Tracy on a reality show.
She would have been Real Housewives.
Let's pitch
Beverly Hills.
Disney tomorrow.
Let's pitch it to Disney right now.
I would watch that. Take the best, no offense for the term, but like sort of MILFy characters from like all of the shows and put them on a real house. Like
yes!
That would be.
Oh my God.
That would be
amazing.
And then my experience with Romy on the show, I had written, I think when I did Hannah, I had been in the business for about, I want to say 14, 15, however many long years. I had never, up to that point, gotten credit for creating a character on television, right? I had always written episodes of shows that, you know, other shows. I had not, at that point, I hadn't written a pilot yet. I hadn't done anything yet. And I wrote the first episode, just into the weeds, the Writers Guild minutiae. I wrote the first episode that you were on, so I got created by credit for your character.
You created me.
So, but I didn't know that. Nobody told me this. But then you came on a second time, and I got a check. Because you get a character payment.
And you didn't know until
And I didn't know. And I was like, I think they, guys, I think they overpaid me. Because my check was more this week. And they were like, no, that's your character payment for Tracy. And my eyes got like this big. And literally for 4 years, I was like, you know what would be really funny in this episode? We should bring Tracy. We should bring Tracy. Because you were my first character payment. You were my first. I made a lot of money on the fact that you were talented. So... Thank you.
My favorite memory of Romy was actually hearing the voice for the very first time and knowing that, like, and years later now watching, because my kids love Friends.
Uh-huh.
And there is this kind of Janice from Friends.
Yes.
Like, she came to our set one time. That actress came to our set one time. And because it was to a run-through because Roger was directing. And since he worked on Friends, she can, and her kids loved Hannah Montana. And so, like, but her voice was not that. And so I was like, this goes back to what I was saying before, which is, like, for somebody to be, like, to make such a bold choice and to be able to come in and do that. But truly, and I think I said this before, there isn't a single person that I talk to about Tracy that doesn't do this Tracy voice, yeah. Which is like iconic. It's
I
just
love that.
Jason
iconic.
Does it. When we talked about having you on the show, he was like, "Oh."
And then the other thing is that, like, we don't know how old Tracy is supposed to be in real life on the show.
Sure,
but like she started from a very real place. Like there was nothing. Mm. Like, she could live in this world, which was right in tune with everything we did on Hannah Montana, which was, like, just this kind of grounded, real human that just, like, was slightly elevated with this voice. But everything else about it was, like, absolutely real and also aspirational. Like, who wouldn't want to throw, like, the Hannah Montana Happy Halloween party
for her
best friend? You know, and so anyway. It was like, so her generosity was also like really great. And she's also slightly intimidated by Hannah Montana, which I thought was also great, given her arrogance.
Right.
Right, because Hannah's the star.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You were just family money.
Right. Family money. Yeah.
The Van Horn family money.
Yeah, and for me, like whenever I think about like your character on the show and you being on the show, I was always like, there was always like this weird air of intimidation for me. Because you were playing the really pretty, popular, rich girl throwing the big party, and like my character really was like the brother who like had to scrape by and he drove his chick car and he just didn't really like fit in that world, even though like his sister was Hannah Montana and he lived in Malibu and all that stuff, and because I grew up like poor. And like not in that world, like there was a weird bit of my real life that sort of spilled into it, and I was always really intimidated by like when you're doing the big party scenes and there's all that like elegance and the opulence, and I was just like, I don't belong here. the imposter syndrome was like really heightened when it
That's
was
so
like your stuff, and you're incredibly friendly and very, very nice, but I was still like, it was intimidating to be around the really pretty girl that had like all the stuff. Like,
I would have never guessed. Yeah. Also, I'm like the least intimidating human.
Yeah. 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 Oh, believe
it
me,
you thing, like, it was a me thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know she was acting.
I was acting pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the voice is intimidating.
But, like, I feel like when I saw the parties and stuff, oh, my God. First of all, those set creators were amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry Dunn was our... Was
set design.
Our,
the whole time.
That was insane. It was like, great. Monday we would do the table read, and then by Wednesday there's, like, this lavish set with...
Oh,
like,
yeah, that little bit of magic was a lot behind the scenes.
Because
we only had a certain amount of money every week.
Yeah.
And we could only build a certain amount of sets. And yet it was a constant juggle. And we only had enough space on the stage. And we had, for our point of view, writing around what we could afford and what we could build.
Yeah.
And he was a genius at giving us more than we thought we would get.
Yeah.
Right?
It was incredible.
Really
Yeah. So he was great.
But I guess I felt like I wasn't intimidated by the lavishness. I was like, I have finally arrived. This is where I've always belonged.
From the audience, we have a couple of questions. Bex Rose Doctor asked, how did you all prepare or get pumped for the scenes? Did you have any rituals or specific things you do either together or on your own before filming? So was there any like sort of prep that you did to like get amped up for it?
I mean, I am just a person who, as an actor, does everything over and over and over and over and over. So, like, the whole week with the line changes and stuff, I memorized every single night, even though I knew it was going to change, because I was so fearful that I was going to get out there and waste videotape. Waste people's time.
Well, we had a limited amount of time with those kids, right?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Stopping for you would have been... we had to stop for them so much that, you know...
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm not saying yeah to that, but I
Thank God you prepared.
Yeah, that's I just, like, nonstop just saying my lines over and over and over and over and
when
over.
When you were there, did you do the speed reads with us?
Yes.
Because we would, before the either run-throughs or shooting sometimes, we'd go out and we'd run through the entire episode, basically we'd do it as fast as you could, just to get the energy up and to refresh the lines and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was always a big proponent of, like, vocal exercises. Do you remember us ever doing them as a big group?
No.
Because I was always,
you know, what's funny is, Tracy's first episode, though, they had that one lady who I think was going to maybe be a recurring character who was her
vocal coach.
And she was like, did this crazy, like, vocal exercise. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So I used to do a lot of vocal exercises. It'd be like the when you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed by anxiety. I conceive you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. And so you do these big tongue twisters and just like say
Them
over
so
and over and over and over again.
That is impressive.
Yeah, and it was helpful. It gets
didn't
sort of
help.
You are an Hair by Erica B. Question for Tracy. Whose idea was it to do the annoying voice, and did you hate doing every episode? That's one end of the spectrum.
Amazing.
I'm going to get my hair done by Erica B.
Just Juju asked, how did Tracy come up with the iconic voice? And then Peyton's Jen asked, what was it like working with the cast for both of you, and how did Tracy's iconic voice get created? 20 years later, and I'm still obsessed with the color mauve
because
of Tracy.
That was one of the lines that made me laugh on the page. I read mauve. I was like, that's amazing.
So like, we've already answered a bit of like how the voice came about, but like mauve specifically, there was the thing that I was always really I loved about your performance is you would take these scripts, and you know, with the economy of words that you had, you would find a word like mauve. And you would put a bend on it that like made it so memorable. How deliberate was that? Did you know like, oh, this is the word that I'm gonna like absolutely boomerang and like, or did it just kind of happen?
I can't take any credit for that one. I actually think that was on the page.
I think
it said
on the pop.
It was like A A A U U U V V V.
Yeah.
But I will say to Romy's credit, to your credit, to all the kids, there was a lot of times that we wrote a straight line that Miley just made funny, right?
Yeah.
Or you just made funny.
Yeah.
And
if we brought you back, or if, like, if it was something like Mauve, we knew, because, you know.
Mauve is funny.
Yeah. That was a joke we wrote. But a lot of times you guys made straight lines funny, and then we brought them back because you had made them funny the first time, right? Mauve wasn't that exact instance, but
yeah.
But there are a lot of them.
So we also have two of the same question, Serena Villardita.
Nicely done.
Yeah, Viardita. Viardita.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Nicely butchered.
We'll put it up on the screen. maybe. And then Desi Schulenberg.
Sure.
They wanted to know what the audition process was like.
For me,
What was your audition?
I remember I went in. They had asked for a 16-year-old socialite, and in my head, I also saw Paris Hilton. I was right. Like, I'm not blind.
I mean, I remember 20 years ago, that was who was.
Yeah, totally fair. And I was like, I am not this quintessential socialite. Mm-hmm. Gonna go in, have a ton of fun, just do what I want. And then I got called back and they were like, can you not wear eyeliner? Because you could look a lot younger if you don't wear eyeliner. I was like, okay, thank you, Carol. Yes.
And then to wrap it up, this is probably more for Doug, actually. Mandy Kaluz asked, why wasn't Tracy in season 4? And that's a question I want to know the answer to.
I do too.
You know, we tried.
Was it just like, we had so much stuff we had to accomplish season?
We did 26 episodes the first year. Then 30, 30, and
15. Yeah.
All right. First of all, we didn't think we were coming back, right? It was a surprise fourth year. And we had so much to do. Yeah. Also, just side note story, we had prepped. We creatively decided we didn't have any more stories to tell. And we told the network, hey, what if we do something different? What if in episode 1, she takes off the wig? And the 15 episodes are an exploration of what life is like if everybody knows the secret. And they said, great, brilliant. We prepped the first 6 or something episodes as if, you know, she was going to take the wig off and that was going to be it. And some of those still exist. So, you know, we saved some of them. But about 2 or 3 weeks before we started shooting that season, the network changed her mind. And And the famous story, which... is uncorroborated, even though I remember it very clearly. There was a phone call from an executive at the network who said that they had received an angry phone call from some executive in the merchandising division because they had just got the air schedule. And she was taking the wig off before Halloween, and their concern was, I have a million wigs in a warehouse in China. Who's going to buy a blonde wig and be Hannah if she takes the wig off? So we couldn't take the wig off until Halloween, apparently. The fourth season was a mad scramble to get everything we wanted done in a very short amount of time, in a shorter half of the season that we normally had. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get you in, but we just never sadly got around.
You know what, though? I will say this. Like, it would have been, it felt like part of her life was cut out in that. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. Like, there isn't anything in that fourth season that it was so lean and it felt...
I'm very proud of that fourth season, and I think we did a great job. But there are so much more we would have liked to have had a send away that had everybody.
One of these days,
in, you know,
one of these days, perhaps on this podcast, I will give you my pitch for what I felt like the wig taking off moment could have been, and it was brilliant. It was.
If you say so yourself.
When you hear it.
Okay.
It was brilliant.
Okay.
Let us know if you want to hear it. Yeah. You know.
Okay, we're gonna loop all the way back around. We had our questions at the top, our little sweet niblets. Romy is half Japanese and half
half Jewish, so I'm a Jap. I'm a Jap squared.
Wow.
You can say that.
She can say it.
Like,
you
I
know.
Have no input on that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
always the shocker for everybody.
That's Jewish American princess for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Japanese. And I feel like Japanese are totally fine with shortening it to Jap. Like, I don't feel like that's offensive.
You can say whatever you want. Yeah, can't say it.
So, okay, in Japan, they shorten everything. Brad Pitt is Budapi. Yeah, so Jap.
Okay.
Of course.
If you say so, I'm never going to say it.
I say so.
Well, okay. You have a wonderful, diverse history that created this exceptionally talented person before us. So that's a There you go, Doug. Yeah, we answered yours. And then, and is there an answer for my
question? There is. Okay,
how the frick old was Tracy on the show?
Created as 16, right? Because we felt like, remember, at the time, Miley was only 13.
Okay.
Right? So we had to create a friend for her that wasn't too old, that it was creepy.
Okay.
She couldn't be hanging out with 20-year-olds.
Okay.
Right? So we created her as 16, but wrote her as Paris Hilton.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So and legally, she was of age to hang out with a 13-year-old.
Makes sense.
Know? And so eventually she aged into like actual young adulthood.
Right.
As Miley was
ending
high school.
As Miley aged out. Okay. Right. So when Miley was 17, 18 going off to college, it wasn't weird that she had a 20-something-year-old friend.
So season one, we watched it and you were 16 in the thing.
Right, yeah.
So
right.
Jackson technically
was wheelhouse.
Was either same age or maybe even like a half a year older.
And well, in real life, you guys are the same age or maybe even a half a year older. Yeah.
So I was looking through some of your publicity photos on IMDb. You mm-hmm. have lots of like great stills. And I stumbled upon one that reminded me of something. And so I wanted to like settle down.
Oh, God. Oh, this is the surprise.
And so I wanted to run. I just wanted to run this by you guys and see what you want. So there's a beautiful picture of Romy.
Oh.
That she took it for publicity stuff.
Wes, can you see that?
Is this good? Okay.
Oh, can key that in.
Okay. And the only thing I want to know is who wore it better?
Oh my God. You're wearing like the fuzzy boots and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw your picture and I was like, holy shit. That is, this
you
is.
You have to tell me, which came first?
Okay. So this is from 2011.
Oh, okay.
What is that from?
Okay. So this happened the one and only time I ever got invited to Miley's Halloween party. I was a slutty snow bunny, and I think I wore it well, not as well as you probably, but and you look stunning in it. And mine is, it's brand new and yet it's dirty. I don't know like what happened.
Well, I think that's you.
But this is.
That's amazing.
I just want to know who wore it.
Oh
better.
My God! Well, I'm gonna say that she wore it.
She definitely wore it better.
But sorry, I'm you wore it first.
Romy.
Wow.
I think mine was the impression of yours.
That's right.
All I know is, at some point, if you guys are interested, let us know in the comments below. There is a story associated with this picture. It is the one and only time I have ever smoked pot, and it was at Miley's Halloween party. And maybe I'll share that story, and maybe I won't. Depends on whether you guys let me know if you're excited or not.
So I'm voting already. Can I vote already? Because I don't know this story.
I don't either.
This is the one and only time. So enough with the shenanigans, Dougie.
Yes, that's
Dougie,
it
take us
for
home.
Us. Thank you so much for being here with
Thank
us. Thanks
you
for
guys
playing
for
with us.
Me miss
I know,
you guys.
Robbie. We missed you.
And we will be back with more if you like or not. You don't know. I think we will. But do what you do. Smash the button, ring the bell, hashtag the show, do all the things that you kids do. I'm 57. I don't know how to do this. You guys do it. All right. Thanks. See you next time.
You do the thing.
Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Oh, I have to do the thing?
You got
to
do the thing.
But I'm the daddy. All right.
Okay.
Good day, guys. I said good day. Woo!
We did it.
We did it. We did another one.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.